Jose Cabrera was one of Spain's greatest matadors. At the age of 21, he had actually captured the nation in all of its enthusiasm and excitement for bullfighting. In one of those encounters in the ring, he was out there playing with the bull back and forth with his cape and, you know, deceiving it and so forth. And finally, when the bull gets finally worn out, he takes his sword and kills the bull. And everyone could see El Toro fall over and collapse. And then he turned to the crowd and they were applauding him and clapping, excited and so forth. And while he was receiving all that accolades, from behind him, El Toro raises from the dead. And with one of his horns comes up behind Jose Cabrera and right through his back and punches his heart. By the time he got him to the hospital, he died. In a very similar way, we find that sin has a way of rearing its ugly head and nailing every one of us. We've been talking about besetting sins. We've been talking about signature sins. We've been talking about how do you work through this whole situation. And today we're going to wrap this whole sermon series up on disentanglement, untying our knottiest problem. And today we're going to look at the last sermon called Not Dead. And the not is with a K, K-N-O-T, because we struggle with these knots. And if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to spend some quality time in these four verses, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. But meanwhile, we're going to wrap up this whole sermon series on disentanglement, and then we will be launching into a sermon series on Christmas, and we've got all these lovely decorations that kind of prepare our hearts for that. Now, I've been sharing with you over the last number of weeks four disentanglement truths. And today is the last day I'm going to be walking through them. I trust that you will live through these and remind yourself as we move forward. Number one, I am wonderfully created, but I am deeply, deeply, deeply flawed. That is the story of every Christian. And that's why we're giving you these kinds of truths. Number two, I will never, 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 never win against sin. That's kind of discouraging. But the good news is, we can grow. We can get better. We can learn new skills in living the Christian life and waging that war. Now, as we wage that war, we find number three, I get better by making many, many small choices. Sometimes we make a significant choice in life change, but life is filled with a lot of small choices. And each day, each hour, we make those choices. Number four, I get better by using spiritual weaponry, and I'm trying to stock your arsenal with spiritual weapons on how to do that. And that's where Romans chapter 8 comes in today in such a critical, critical way. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And then we looked at verse 11. And then we looked at verse 13. And we saw two key truths. Let me just hit those truths real quick. Number one, as a believer, I have died and been raised with Jesus Christ. That is our spiritual position in Christ. And we learn that from God's truth. But secondly, as a believer, I offer my body to God. And daily, hourly, I say, Lord, this is your body. These are the individual body parts. And I present to you in a very significant way. So this is our spiritual position. And it's all pictured in our baptism where we have died with Christ, buried with Christ, and then raised with Christ to new life in Him. Now, I think maybe many of you have read C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. One of those key books is called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And the focus of the book is on, one of the boys called Eustace. And Eustace is kind of a wily character, and he is transformed into a dragon with his scales and the knobby skin and, you know, kind of an ugly critter. But in this metaphor, we find that that skin is peeled off of him. And he tries to do it, but he's unable to do it himself. And so Aslan, who is the lion, who is a picture of Jesus, comes and takes it off him. Now Eustace tells his cousin Edmund that process. He says, the very first tear he made was so deep, I thought it was going to go right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. Well, he peeled that beastly stuff right off, just as I thought it had done myself the other three times. Only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobby looking than ever others had been before. Now what C.S. Lewis is doing in a kind of a pictorial way is showing that our sinful fleshly nature has got to be removed and replaced with the person of Jesus Christ. And each one of us has struggled with sin. We have been tangled with sin. And we say, how do you get me free and released from this? Well, the Apostle Paul, like us, understands that challenge. And so in that challenge, we find he writes in Romans chapter 7, his journey in that. We come to Romans chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. He says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. See, again, he is wonderfully created, but he is deeply, deeply flawed. And there's that principle of evil that we all struggle with. He continues in verse 23. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And we feel that pull, that war within us. And Galatians 5 talks about that fleshly, sinful nature. It has got to be taken on by the Holy Spirit. Then verse 24, he exclaims, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That's that cry of desperation. Unless I miss my guess, every one of us has cried that out. And especially when we have fallen to a besetting signature sin, we say, oh, Lord. That's what Paul does. But then he gives us an answer in verse 25. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And with that exclamation, he moves into Romans chapter 8, in particular this morning, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, telling us how this actually works. And we come to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is one of the most blessed verses we could ever read. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is our new position in Christ. Once we put faith in Jesus as our Savior, He comes into our life, we have a brand new position. And we operate out of that new position in Him. Now He says there is no condemnation. Now condemnation is one of those big, huge Bible terms. We don't use it a whole lot. We use it a little bit in our culture. Condemnation is a long version of damnation. And damnation is a longer version of to damn something. We hear that. And to damn something is to send it to hell. And what the Apostle Paul says that once we're in Christ, there is no condemnation, there is no damnation, there is no damning, and there's no sending us to hell. Now, in our culture, we find people damning and helling everything. Folks, we do not have that ability. In fact, my life is committed to the whole concept of taking people so they don't have to go to those places. And Paul rejoices that when we're in Christ, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is one of the most exciting truths I could ever share with you. Now, with that ring in our ears, we move into verse 2. He says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, there are two war laws working within us. The law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Now, years ago, there's a story about the American Indian who was confused over electricity. It was in the early days of our country when electrification was happening across the pioneer states. And he was asking one of the American pioneers, what make it go? And so to the best of his ability, his science was probably inadequate, he tried to explain about how electricity flows through and the wires and the electricity and the electrons and stuff like that. But the poor American, he didn't have a clue. Now, they're in this old cabin with the one light bulb right up in the middle. So the American pioneer pushes a chair in front of it, reaches up, unscrews the light bulb. Then he says to the Indian, you get on the chair and put your thumb up there. Oh, kids, don't do this at home. But back in those days, electricity was a little bit different. And as soon as he did that, whoosh, lands right on his hind end. Rubbing his thumb, he turns to the American pioneer and says, now I know what make it go. And see, what makes the Christian life go is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's not by doing good things, although when he flows through us, we end up doing good things. It's internally driven. Now, the issue in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, is there are two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, overcoming the law of sin and death. Now, what I want to do is walk through a couple of props here to help you understand. Because we have these two laws, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand those two laws. Now, I brought my shopping bag here. Home goods there. Where you brought the big balloon. Now, if I hold the balloon up here and I drop it, what's going to happen? Falls. Gravity takes over every time. That is like the law of sin and death. It pulls us and we move into these natural besetting signature sins of our, and it's just as easy as falling off a log. Now, we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, that there is a new law that comes in and takes over as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to remove my mask here a little bit because we're going to blow the balloon up. Now, if I was to drop this balloon, what's going to happen? Instead of falling down, it's going to do what? Boom. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. Just as that balloon, for a few seconds, through jet propulsion, was able to overcome gravity. You say, yeah, but eventually gravity takes over. Yeah, I understand. And that's what we call entanglement. Now, we got another one. Now, we got the piece of paper here. Now, hold it like this, and the paper, why? Because gravity is pulling it down. Isn't that right? You can see that visually. Now watch what happens when I blow. When I blow across the paper comes up. What happened to gravity? It was overcome with a different law. And that's how we fly on airplanes. A number of you guys work for Boeing. You get those planes moving down that runway, going at high rates of speed, and you get those wings out there, and that air goes over there, and all of a sudden you have what we call the law of lift. And we love it. And planes do really well. One of the safest ways to travel. And what we're finding in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, is that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. And that's where the Spirit of life needs to flow through you and through me in order to overcome sin. That's disentanglement. Now, as we move from verse 2 into verse 3, he says, "For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weak by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering." And so he condemned sin in a sinful man. So what we find is that God realized that the Old Testament law was powerless because our fleshly nature was weak. And we saw that in that sinful nature in Galatians chapter 5 when we started this whole sermon series. We saw those 15 characteristics of the sinful nature that was always pulling us down. We aren't guilty of all of them, but certain ones, they are us. And so we find that the sinful nature is overcome by the person of Jesus who died for us. And then we come to verse 4. "In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." So the key is learning to allow the Spirit of God to work in you and work in me. It's not gluing good things on your life and say, "See, I'm a better person. I do this now." No, it's allowing the Spirit of God to live through you so you overcome that sinful nature and you do what is right because it's flowing out of you through the life of Jesus Christ. Now, let's wrap this up with four action steps or points. Number one, we need to trust in Jesus as our Savior. That's where it starts. This is what makes evangelism, sharing the gospel, absolutely critical to all that we do. And as we trust Jesus as our Savior, confess our sinful state before Him, He comes within us. And we have a brand new spiritual position in Him. And sometimes we think, "Well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian." Well, just because you're in a garage doesn't make you a car. You have got to make a choice. And maybe you're sitting home watching this live streaming, maybe you've been coming here, and you've never, ever made that choice. I want to invite you to trust in Jesus. That's where it starts. Number two, learn the truth that you have died and you've been raised with Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, he says, "Don't you know this?" Well, sometimes we forget. We've got to learn it. We have to relearn it. We have to go back and review those kinds of things. There was a missionary who was in Africa, and he went into his African hut. It wasn't a hut, his house. And there was the largest python he had ever seen. Right there and out. So he went back to his pickup, pulled out his pistol. He checked the chamber. There was one bullet. He walked back in there, took careful aim, bam, and shot that python right in the head. Well, what did the python do? Roll over and play dead? No. It thrashed and writhed. It broke everything in the house, lamps, dishes, furniture, you name it. He was going through the death throes. And even though our death, our nature, or our sinful nature has died with Christ, it is going through those death throes. And everything was demolished. But we need to know that is our new position in Jesus Christ. Which brings us to point number three that we saw a couple weeks ago. We need to offer our body and our body part to God. Say, Lord, this is your body. This is my brain. These are my eyes. These are my hands and my feet. I want to give it to you. Work through me. Flow through me. And I challenged you 2 weeks ago to do that on a regular basis. And then lastly, number four, yield control to the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I've got this nature. It's going through the death throes. But I want you to come and take control of me. Billy Graham used to tell the story in his book, The Holy Spirit, about a miner who would come into an Alaskan village every week to buy supplies and groceries and so forth. Each Saturday when he would come, he would bring his two prize husky dogs. One was black, one was white. And as they gathered out in the village square, obviously they egged him on and he would start the fight. And the black and the white dog were all over the place. And of course, in those Alaskan village situation, there was betting going on. Which dog was going to win? Well, one old miner watching this thing from afar noticed that every week, sometimes the white dog won, sometimes the black dog won. But you never knew. The only one who really won on the betting was the owner. So one day he came up and said, listen, tell me what's going on. How come you always win? Well, if he was smart, he probably would have kept his mouth shut, but he opened his mouth and said, well, I always know which one wins because that's the one I've fed the most throughout the week. The weaker one always loses. And that's why it's so important to feed our inner nature, to do what is right, and coming together, getting focused, community groups, spending time with the Lord. All those things are so critical to feed that spiritual nature. That is how we become disentangled in our naughtiest problem. I want to ask Brian to come up and lead us in that last number we've been using as a theme song, Just As I Am. But as he does, why don't we just bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Father, as we come before you, rejoice over the truths that you have given to us about how to wage war against this nature of ours. Lord, we want to thank you that we have a brand new spiritual position in Christ. And Lord, we want to feed that spiritual nature to do what is right and proper before you. Lord, as we move into this holiday season, we're going to be spending all kinds of time with others, and we're going to be tested. And many times we fail. But Lord, we come back to you and recommit ourselves and allow that Spirit to move in and through us to portray the person of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.